Greetings, Hoops heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Thursday, May 24th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. So I guess that prediction about the winners of Game 4 going on to win the series is a little bit, well, wrong. At least I hope it is. In the case of the Warriors, who lost Game 4, go back to Houston, tied 2-2. It's a best-of-three series. And I still think the Warriors can win in 6. They're just going to have to play better than they did in Game 4, particularly executing down the stretch and playing like they want it for the entire 48 minutes. But we'll get into all that. We'll get into LeBron's loss in Game 5 in Segment 3 and do all the goodness that is the Warriors in Segment 1 and 2. You can get this podcast at iTunes, iOS, Spotify, Google Play, and LockedOnWarriors.com, as well as LockedOnSports.com. You can find my written work at Forbes.com. I've also written for Bleacher Report. You can also get in contact with me at Koji Tare, KOGITARE. On Twitter or at Locked On Dubs. I tweet from both accounts. Find us on Facebook at Locked On NBA Net and Locked On Dubs. And check out my LinkedIn at Aliko Carter, A-L-I-K-O, for all of my credentials. Okay, back to Warriors versus Rockets. Some news and notes. Klay is likely for Game 5, that knee injury that hampered him in the second half. It looked like it hurt. It really did. Capella came down on Klay's foot, and he just fell awkwardly, held his knee afterwards, and was never the same. He's likely for Game 5. Andre, a game-time decision. I guess that means questionable. But would love to have Andre back in the lineup the way that he just, you know, Josh Lloyd talked about it very well, very articulately yesterday. The things that he does on the court make it easier for Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry, and Kevin Durant to get their shots off. The way that he plays defense and who he's guarding make it easier for Steph to be hidden, not have to work so hard on the defensive end, and save energy for offense. And with Kevon Looney, he moves back into his bench role, doesn't play as many minutes, but plays more impactful minutes. In other news, the All-NBA teams were announced today. Kevin Durant makes the first team, along with James Harden, Damian Lillard, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis. Must have been a tough vote for a first team. Surprised Dame made it a little bit, but well-deserved for the season that he had and carrying his team to the playoffs with the help of CJ McCollum and Yusuf Nurkic. Second team, Giannis, Russell Westbrook, Joel Embiid, LaMarcus Aldridge, and DeMar DeRozan. I honestly thought that Westbrook would make that first team, but Dame's team was better. Ever so slightly. Third team, Stephen Curry, Victor Oladipo, along with Big Cat, Karl Anthony Towns, Jimmy Butler, and Paul George. No Klay Thompson on this list, which makes him ineligible for the Supermax. Not a great thing for Klay Thompson, but ultimately a good thing for the Warriors. It will give him some wiggle room in keeping this team together. Klay has already talked about his affinity for the Bay Area, the fact that he wants to be a Warrior for a long time. And, you know, I know he wants to make as much money as possible. I think we all do. But at the same time, this kind of helps guarantee that Klay will be around for the long haul, particularly if Kevin Durant continues to take bargain deals. If, however, Klay makes an All-NBA team next year, he would be eligible. When he's a free agent, he has, I guess it's a player option. I don't think it's a team option. I think it's a player option for this season. So he'll get paid. He'll get paid probably about $17 million in 2018-2019. But then if he makes the All-NBA team, any All-NBA team for the 2018-2019 season, he will be eligible when he's a free agent after 2019 ends. So we'll see. There's a ton of good guards in the league, a ton of good guards in the Western Conference, as the All-NBA team suggest, and a ton of guards who may have felt snubbed like Klay Thompson felt snubbed. Kyle Lowry, John Wall. So it's no guarantee that Klay makes the all NBA team next year, but, you know, you got to expect at age, you know, 27, 28, that he's just going to get better every year. He's entering his prime and should be there for the next few years. So we'll just have to wait and see. So I've confirmed he is 28. He averaged 20 points, 3.8 rebounds, 2.5 assists in this season on a career-best 44% from beyond the arc. He made the third team in 2015 and 2016. Didn't earn it in 2017. Didn't earn it this year. A player with fewer than 7 years of NBA service can sign a max contract for 25% of a team's salary cap. Players with 7 to 9 years of service can sign for 30%, and players with 10 years or more can sign for 35%. Klay has made it to 7 years, but certain players qualify for a Supermax deal earlier in their careers. They have to be named to the All-NBA first, second, or third team in the most recent season or both of the two seasons that preceded it. The player has to be the defensive player of the year in the most recent season or both of the two seasons that preceded it, or the player has to be named most valuable player in any of the three most recent seasons, like Derrick Rose early in his career. Draymond Green would also have been Supermax eligible had he earned an All-NBA nod this season. And he's probably not going to get Defensive Player of the Year. Golden State has already signed Steph to a Supermax, so they're kind of restricted in how they can go about doing things in the future. I mean, you might have to count on not just Kevin Durant taking a discount, but also Klay, who did take a discount for his big deal, $69 million over 4 years. It was a near max. It was not a max. And then Draymond had signed a 5-year deal, $82.5 million. We know that Steph is getting north of $200 for 5 years. He sacrificed earlier in his career that 4-year, $44 million deal that the Warriors signed with him due to his ankle injuries. But we know Stephen Curry is the Warriors. It makes less sense, I think, for him to not be paid the max than it does for other players to not be paid the max. It's unclear how the Warriors are going to get around this issue in upcoming seasons, but I have faith in Bob Myers that he'll find a way to figure it out. Quick break for our sponsors. We're back, and I want to talk more news and notes about the Warriors, specifically Steve Kerr, who was asked about the NFL's new policy on standing during the anthem. The NFL basically is forcing their players to quote-unquote respect the flag, that if they do kneel during the anthem, they will be fined, and they do have the right to stay in the locker room for the anthem, but they don't have the right, according to the NFL, to kneel during the anthem. The Jets owner, Christopher Johnson, says he'll pay the fines if the players defy the new anthem protest ban. He is the only owner to get behind the players on this so far. But Steve Kerr had this to say. He called it idiotic. He basically said that the NFL is pandering to its fan base and that he's proud to be a part of a league that respects that the United States is about freedom of speech and peaceful protests. He laments that the NFL twisted the message of the initial protests, which were, by the way, about violent policing leading to the deaths of young black men and women. But yeah, Steve Kerr, not a fan. Not a fan of the NFL, not a fan of what the NFL decided to do in this instance, and showing once again the leadership off the court that we need to see. Kerr Pop 2020. I'm sure it helps in the locker room to hear Kerr talking about these issues, and you know, it would have been nice to hear him mention specifically police violence against black and brown communities, but we know what he was talking about, which is that the NFL twisted the message, made it about the flags, made it about the veterans, pandered to a specific subset of their fan base who does not want to think about real issues that affect black people, brown people, they prefer to live in a world where they can pretend like those things don't exist. And that's just too bad, because there's a ton of black and brown people who are serving in the military, many who feel like they have no other option, serving the country, and then coming back and saying, this protest is what I'm all about. This protest is what I am fighting for. So to have it twisted like that, then have it kind of become a non-story and bring it back with this new policy, I think is just not smart business. It's not forward thinking, and it fails the players. Back to Klay Thompson, apparently he is willing to sign an extension. Marcus Thompson has this from The Athletic. The fact that Thompson is willing to consider an extension is major. It would essentially tie his next contract to his old one, which he signed before the spike in the salary cap. Signing an extension, as opposed to becoming a free agent and signing a new deal, would significantly decrease the maximum Thompson could make and save the Warriors millions in luxury tax penalties. The most he could get in the first year of an extension is a 120% raise. With the highest annual increases allowed, that would put Thompson's extension at 4 years and just over $102 million. And the $18.9 million he's due to make in 2018-2019, add that, and Thompson is looking at a maximum five-year salary of $121 million should he sign an extension. 5 years, $121. That's a pretty nice contract. Used to be back in the day with the old collective bargaining agreement, you could sign for 6 years, but you could never make this much money. $120 million over 6 years, that's the deal that Gilbert Arenas signed with the Washington Wizards about a decade ago. And that was the most you could make. And now, obviously, people, you know, at the highest levels are getting 5 years, $200 million. Russell Westbrook, Stephen Curry. While others like LeBron and Kevin Durant are doing the 1 year and then 1 year player option, getting paid and then having the mobility to be able to go wherever they want. Klay would be an outlier if he were to do this, saying, I'm taking less money and I'm offering myself no mobility. Klay cares about four things. He cares about his family. I've seen it. He cares about his dog, Rocco, who he loves. He cares about basketball, and he cares about the Golden State Warriors. He wants to be a Warrior for life, and if he would consider this and do this, not only would he be a Warrior for life in my book, but we would also owe him a debt of gratitude for taking less money to be able to keep this core together. All right, let's move on to tonight's game. It's in Houston. The Warriors have shown that they can win in Houston. Houston also showed in an odd game for the Warriors that they can win at Oracle, but this game back in Houston, and I think we should expect Andre to not be a go. Game time decision. Steve Kerr tends to err on the conservative side when it comes to these things. And a knee contusion will hobble you. Wouldn't it be a wonderful surprise if Patrick McCaw made his debut tonight? But we shouldn't expect that either. So it's Kevon Looney in the starting lineup with Jordan Bell playing spot minutes. And they still did a good job of keeping Capella off the floor in game four. Capella only playing 24 minutes, went 2 of 5 from the field, but did grab 13 boards. But the Warriors are doing a good job of making the Rockets play to the Warriors' strengths. And you'll just need to see better offense from Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry, and Kevin Durant. And Klay Thompson is likely, which means his knee is good to go. Or so we hope. And then, of course, Draymond keeping doing Draymond things. And I want to get into his hustle stats just a little bit on the other side of this break. We're back, and we're talking Draymond's hustle stats. I mean, what more can you say about Draymond Green? The man had 5 deflections in the game, 4 loose balls recovered. He contested 12 shots, including 7 three-point shots, running them off the line, and 25 box outs. That is a ton, and he had 13 rebounds to show for it, but you create rebounds for other people in the town jerseys. Kevin Durant with 12 rebounds, Kevon Looney with 6 rebounds. They all played with Draymond Green because Draymond Green played 45 and a half minutes. He's so important to everything that the Warriors do and was one of the biggest reasons that the Warriors were able to stay in the game, especially because they had 16 turnovers to only 10 for the Rockets. So if Draymond can provide that kind of effort again, and you get better play, better shooting from KD, Klay, and Steph, you can win. You can win on the road. And I think after last game, you're not going to see any of those guys playing as poorly. You know, if I were them, I'd be a little embarrassed. Mark J. Spears said they played privileged. That went around Warriors Twitter a little bit yesterday. And it's a little hard to argue with. I mean, they thought that the Houston Rockets, winners of 65 games, and believers in their ability to beat the Warriors, that they were just going to lie down after that first run in the first quarter. And of course, they didn't. And then they're like, okay, we got to play again. And that second run in the third quarter. And then the Rockets came back again because the Warriors played like dogs. Their execution down the stretch was awful. They thought it was going to be easy. But of course, it's never easy in the conference finals. I mean, last year, the Spurs were right there in game one. And then Kawhi goes down and everything changes. It becomes easy, but the Spurs were going to win that game. And it was just a little bit of Divine and Zaza intervention that changed that. So yeah, this is the conference finals. It's the two best teams in the regular season in the Western Conference. And if you look at the numbers, by many metrics, the Houston Rockets were better. This team is no slouch. I think you're going to see better execution from the Warriors. I think you're going to see a little bit more fire. There was obviously fire in Game 4, but it waned and waxed, you know, and it needs to be constant. And I think you're going to see constant fire. I think Kevin Durant's going to go off. I don't know about Steph. I don't want to speculate on how he's feeling or whatever, but his game definitely just, it goes up and down and up and down, and it's a little frustrating, but also I've come to expect it. So what I'm saying is, you know, if he doesn't have a great game, I won't be surprised, but it would be nice if he did. And Klay Thompson, set to play much better. The Warriors tend not to play poorly two games in a row. That's what we've seen over the last four seasons. It kind of diminished a little bit late this season when the Warriors went 7-10 in their last 17. But for the most part, when they're at their best, if they don't play well, the next game they're going to play very well. But moving on to LeBron and the Celtics, it's been said LeBron looked tired. He turned the ball over inexplicably multiple times, had 6 turnovers, 7 turnovers in the last game. Some, you know, the ball just fell out of his hands. It was like, what is happening to LeBron James? He threw the ball into traffic multiple times. His passes weren't necessarily in the shooter's pocket when they did make it to their destination. But he was still 11 of 22 with 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal for 26 points. Got basically no help from the rest of his team. Kevin Love only 14 points, and that was a lot more than anybody else got. I don't want to go into all their stats because, one, they're pretty sad, and two, it's not really necessary. This team obviously needs their role players to play well on the road at least once. At least once. And that's going to have to be Game 7 if they can go back to Cleveland and win Game 6. And I apologize for the noise. Something upstairs is banging. It's very frustrating. But back to the Cleveland Cavaliers, they have to steel themselves, you know? I mean, Tristan Thompson, horrible game. 0-3, 1 point. LeBron shot 11 of 22. Everybody else shot 20 of 52. That's 38% from the field, let alone the 9 of 34, or 26.5% the team shot from 3. LeBron 1 of 6. Kevin Love 2 of 7. Bagel for J.R. Smith in 4 attempts. It's just simple. This team has to play well on the road once. LeBron is going to do what LeBron can do. He looked tired, but he's going home. He can sleep in his hyperbaric chamber or whatever it is that he does to get his body right. and be ready to go in game six. LeBron, for his part, has to be a little bit more aggressive. Only 4 attempts from the charity stripe. He's got to take care of the ball. 13 turnovers in the last 2 games alone. And 29 for the series. That's just unlike him. Is fatigue a factor? Probably. He played all 82 games. And has played in 38 minutes in every game except the last one, which was a blowout. Chetty Osman got in there, so you know it was a blowout. But LeBron's 4 free throw attempts were the fewest in any game in this series. He's had a game with 13, 2 games with 10 free throw attempts, and not making them. 9 of 13, 8 of 10, 5 of 10, 5 of 6, and 3 of 4. Not shooting particularly well from the stripe, but he's got to get there. The Celtics did a fantastic job of taking other players out of the game. Their defensive rotations were super awesome. And on the offensive end, they swung the ball and found open men constantly. This team can ball. They haven't lost at home in the playoffs. And that says something right there. The Warriors have, the Cavs have, the Rockets have. I mean, I think it's time for me personally to start thinking of these players as real ballers. Guys who are going to be in the league for a long time and give them the credit that they deserve. So I'll say I was wrong about the Celtics. The Celtics are pretty dope. I still don't really want to see them in the finals, though. That's my final thought for today. Tune in tomorrow. We'll be checking into the Dubs after they either win or lose. Up 3-2, down 2-3. We'll see what happens. Stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.